This is Ashley Hodge with the Sikkim 365 podcast. I'm coming to you after Baylor's 69-61 win over VCU in the semifinals of the, what's it called? The Battle for Atlantis? I guess that's the name. I'm joined by Chris Fuentes, my right-hand man at Baylor basketball games. Every Baylor basketball fan knows Chris Fuentes. 69-61 win. It wasn't the prettiest of basketball. The Bears got it done in the second half thanks to 14 second-half points by Kendall Brown, zero at the intermission, and then he exploded in the second half for 14 points. Adam Flagler made a couple big shots down the stretch, made his free throws. Not the best game for James Akinjo, 2 assists, 7 turnovers, but the Bears only had 4 turnovers in the second half, and that was the key to the Bears winning this game. Chris, what were some of your observations?
Yeah, I settled down a little bit in the second half, and, you know, 40 points and a half against a team that likes to scrap everything up. I mean, because we knew coming in, VCU hadn't given up more than 58 points in a game.
Right.
And for us to get 40 and a half against them, knowing they want to ugly it up was pretty big.
Yeah, I said on the game thread that I thought the first team to 60 wins this game, and that held true. Baylor was the first team to 60. VCU had not scored more than 58 in any game. They scored 61 in this game. But, you know, they're a good team. Obviously, NCAA tournament team last year. Consistent record of making the NCAA every year. They got athletes. They play that West Virginia 40 minutes of hell, you know, pressure the ball type of defense. They really frustrated the Bears in the first half, forced 14 turnovers. The Bears only held a two-point lead at intermission. But in the second half, the Bears really did what they needed to do. You know, they got a 10-point lead early in the second half. And, I mean, there were some points in the game where they kind of let, you know, VCU stay close, like, you know, three points, you know, 5 points. But in the end, they did some separation at the end of the game, did what they needed to do, made their free throws when it counted. You know, it wasn't the best performance from the guards. LJ Cryer, 4 turnovers. I think he only had 6 points. And obviously, Akinjo only had 6 points as well. It was 4 for 4 from the free throw line, which was big, but he had 7 turnovers. Adam Flagler, not the best shooting night overall, but he made some big buckets down the stretch, had 9 points. But the front court really delivered. Meyer was 15 points, started strong, finished strong. Brown was terrific in the second half, 14 points. Jonathan was incredible in the first half. He had 11 points at intermission, only scored 2 in the second half, but he had 13 for the game, 8 rebounds as well. So, you know, just, you know, what you expect from Baylor, you know, they got different guys contribute on different nights, but, you know, 6-0 is the bottom line, a chance for a championship in the Battle for Atlantis tomorrow against a really good Michigan State team. That you know, came out of the gate, played pretty poorly against Kansas, but they've really improved since then, and they got a couple big wins early in this tournament. Great game against UConn today, so that's going to be a tough out. But you know, I think Baylor's excited to play them tomorrow.
I think so too. You know, I want to defend Akinjo a little bit because I was on the game thread, and you know, hey, everybody's allowed a rough day, but coming in. You know, he had 39 assists and 14 turnovers,
right?
Which is pretty decent. I think we're like 3-1, basically, assist to turnover ratio, and you know, still positive there. I think the pressure that they played with affected him a little bit. He's obviously much more comfortable getting up and down, and with the way that they slowed the game down and pressured the ball, we didn't get to get out in transition a lot. So. I think we'll see him settle in a little bit. That was his first game, kind of seeing that kind of pressure. And that'll be good for when we play teams like West Virginia who like to, you know, pressure the ball. But I don't see many games where LJ shoots 1 of 6 from the floor and 0 of 3 from 3. And, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that Adam is still a little uncomfortable with that hand. You know, 3 of 9 from the field is not something that we see from him very much. But
he made some big plays down the stretch, though. I mean, and that was good to see because we need that from him. I mean, you know, he, Akinjo, and Matthew Meyer, when the game's on the line, those are the guys you count on. I mean, Kendall Brown may be that fourth guy. I mean, Kendall is like, I mean, to play the second half he did, you know, Scott Drew's compared him to Perry Jones. I think that's a pretty good comparison. I mean, it was good to see them run that first play for the alley-oop to Kendall. I mean, he's a guy that's going to defer unless you run plays to him. But, I mean, man, he made some big plays and you know, just, you know, getting out in transition, made his free throws. I mean, he was really efficient that second half. It was much needed because the Bears, you know, came into the second half with not a lot of momentum. You know, VCU really closed that first half out well. But Kendall Brown and Matthew Meyer really, you know, closed him out when they needed to, and Adam Flagler as well. So, you know, that was really good to see. I was impressed by a couple things. You know, number one, VCU out-rebounded Baylor in the first half, and Baylor ended up out-rebounding. I think the spread was 42 to 33.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, so it was 18 to 13 VCU at one point. So Baylor really dominated the glass after that. The second thing is, you know, Baylor had 14 turnovers in the first half. They ended up with 18, and VCU ended up with 19. So they won the turnover battle, which was huge. And free throw defense was pretty good, you know, 54%. VCU was 7 for 13. Baylor was 18 for 24 for 75%. So, you know, when you take when you make 11 more free throws than your opponent, you're going to win most games. Especially with the type of talent Baylor has. But that was a key stat. They only allowed two guys in double figures, Williams for VCU and Stockard, the guy from Kansas State, who we remember a few years ago. He played some minutes for Kansas State and transferred to VCU. He was pretty efficient early, but they kind of limited him in the second half. And then Williams was their guy. You know, he ended up with 17 points, 3 for 8 from three-point range. But they were only 6 for 20 from three pointers on the game. So Baylor did a good job of shutting that down, making every shot difficult. So overall, I mean, you know, you're 6-0. You play Michigan State in the championship game tomorrow. Can't complain about that. You know, I thought this game was going to be a lot tougher than maybe a lot of fans thought it would be, just because, you know, this team kind of reminds me of the old West Virginia teams. You know, when they had Javon Carter. I mean, it's like the 40 minutes of hell. You know, and you know, Baylor made some adjustments at half and really cut the turnovers down, and that was the key to winning, I thought.
Yeah, and you know, they play that 40 minutes of hell like you mentioned, and you know, almost dare the officials to call, like, are you going to call it every play or are you going to let it go?
Right.
And so, you know, we did get some calls, and then it was very iffy on some possessions. They call a ticky-tack foul, and then they let just all hell break loose down under the basket and not call anything. So, you know, I think players on both sides were kind of looking at the officials like, really? Like, you're letting that go? Right. And then call something crazy on the other end. Going back to what you said about Kendall, you know, we didn't run a set for him in the first half, and he was 0-2 from the field. So he came out in the second half and was 6-7. And I came out kind of at that first possession when the ball was being thrown in to Akinjo. I said, man, we haven't even run a play for Kendall.
Right.
And not 10 seconds later, we're throwing an oop to him. And so, you know, I was acting like I was in Ferrell Center jumping up, and I'm like, finally. But yeah, man, we have some playmakers. We know that, and we know our defense is going to travel. I put it in the game thread, and I think we can play so many styles. Now, granted, we're going to have to get better guard play than what we got today, but you know, we can go kind of small and try to get out and run, or we can play, you know, put out a bunch of length and try to turn people over and play zone. We could play man. I think we can. There are several things that we have yet to be able to get a look at. And you know, Drew is the master of the halftime adjustment. And we all know that. And so we'll be able to continue to see some growth in this team. We have a lot of youth. And I think we were spoiled by what we got to see last year with those amazing guards that we had. And so, you know, I have to even tell myself to settle down a little bit, not to get too frustrated, because, you know, that was the best backcourt, in my opinion, of all time that we had. And so there are going to be some bumps and some highs and lows that we go through, but hey, you cannot get any better than 6-0 and playing for a championship tomorrow morning.
Yeah. I just noticed, KenPom has not updated the stats for the VCU game, but they have already added the Michigan State game to their schedule. And so they got Baylor 73-69. So Michigan State is elite on the defensive end. They're second in defensive efficiency, and they do a lot of great things defensively. They will turn the ball over with the best of them, though. They're 254 out of like 360 teams, roughly, in a turnover percentage on offense. And they don't really cause a lot of turnovers either. So they're kind of different from VCU in that regard. Baylor should have a little bit more of a comfort zone as far as, our guards operating without that ball pressure that VCU put on us. They're going to have to be on the top of their game to beat a really talented Michigan State team. Michigan State lost by 13 to Kansas in the opener. Since then, they've played really well. They beat Butler by 29 points. Yeah, 29 points when at Butler, too. And then the win against a good Loyola Chicago team, and then a really good win against Connecticut, both close games. But this is not going to be an easy contest. Baylor beat Michigan State a couple years ago, 2016, in the battle for Atlantis. But I think this is going to be a tougher out. Izzo's obviously, one of the best coaches in college basketball, and he's going to have his guys ready. It's going to be a very physical game. Nothing's going to be easy. It's going to be hard to score on those guys. Kind of like VCU, Kansas scored 87 on them. But other than that, this is the opponent scores: 46 Western Michigan, 52 Butler, Eastern Michigan 59, Loyola Chicago 61, Connecticut 60. So if Baylor gets to 70, they probably feel good about their chances of winning. But if it's in the 60s, then I don't know if they're going to be able to hold Michigan State under 60. That's going to be a tough task. But they do turn them over. Baylor's pretty good at steal percentage, and Michigan State is not the best at taking care of the basketball. They've proven so far that they can turn it over with the best of them. And KenPom just updated the stats for the VCU game. So Baylor's still fourth in KenPom after this game. They were 0.96 points per possession, or 0.99 points per possession. They held VCU to 0.87 points per possession, and they are favored by 4 points according to KenPom over Michigan State tomorrow. So that's kind of the KenPom download right now. But Michigan State is 17th in KenPom, Baylor's fourth. Baylor is a 63% chance of winning this game, so almost 2/3, chance to win the championship, and certainly. That would be a great boost if they can win this and then go into Arkansas Pine Bluff, and then Villanova is the big game at home, before they go to Oregon on the road. That would set them up really well if they can win this tournament.
Yep. I'll be interested to see tomorrow if Michigan State tries to kind of pressure the ball like VCU did, just because in the games that I've watched in the tournament, Michigan State doesn't really pressure the ball. They just make sure – they play really sound defense. They're staying in front of you, making the shots tough, and then they rebound the ball pretty well. And so it'll be interesting to see. I think, we'll see a much more relaxed, I won't see any 10-second not getting the ball over the half-court line, turnovers tomorrow. We'll be a little more comfortable there. But it's not going to be easy, and, we've got the short rest. They've got a couple hours more rest on us than we do, and we played a pretty tough and physical game. So we're going to have to start pretty quick tomorrow, but I think we're more than capable of doing so and getting 7-0.
Yeah, I agree. And VCU is probably going to be a really good win at the end of the year. They're down two starters. They get their point guard back in a couple weeks. They're in the Atlantic 10. I think St. Bonaventure is the favorite to win that league, but VCU is probably the second best team in that league, especially if they get these guys back. So, it could be a win that pays a lot of dividends for Baylor later in the year. I talked about on the podcast last night with Rifle Bear Brian Gerard that our non-conference schedule is kind of falling apart a little bit. We expected Oregon to be really good, and Alabama to be really good. And Villanova, we thought, was a top five team, and they may be a top five team, but you know, they've taken a couple losses early in the year.
You did see Bama lost today, right?
No. Who'd they lose to?
I think it was Iona, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, gosh. Rick Pitino. Well, I'm not surprised. I watched Alabama play. Alabama and Arkansas both are kind of overrated, in my opinion. I mean, you know, they're teams that have a lot of flaws, but yeah, nonetheless, I mean, you know, we can only control what we can control. Obviously, the Big 12 is showing out really well. Iowa State is a huge surprise. I think Kansas State's going to be solid. You know, that's the bottom of the league, and then of course Texas is expected to be good, and Oklahoma State and Texas Tech hasn't lost yet.
Yeah, but UT's expected to be good in everything, aren't they?
I think UT is probably a 10-8 team in the Big 12, and I think there's a really good chance they go 0-6 against Baylor, Kansas, and then Texas Tech, which will absolutely be hilarious. I think Texas Tech's the third best team in the league. I'm a little worried about their point guard play when they play good competition, but I mean, they're kind of constructed like Baylor. They got all these great wings like Terrence Shannon, O'Banner, the kid from El Paso, I'm forgetting his name, Wilson from Louisiana Lafayette. I mean, they've got some transfers that are going to be high impact guys. De Silva, I think, is going to be a good role player for them. Obviously, McCullough is a good player as well. So, I think they're going to be a factor in the Big 12 race, but probably a better team than Texas when all said and done.
I think so too, and there will be nothing more that I like than Texas continuing to underperform. I said to some Texas fans the last time at the home game in football, I said, hey, did you know the word mediocre in the dictionary is written in burnt orange? they didn't seem to appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
But I was looking up real quick. So on the boards earlier today, there was a lot of missed shots. Neither team shot very well between Michigan State and UConn. Michigan State out-rebounded on 48-42. So,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be a challenge on the boards.
Right.
But we knew both of those teams could play some ball. You know, Michigan State 5-1 with that opening, you know, loss against Kansas, you know, top three team in the country, they say. So,
right.
It's going to be a challenge tomorrow, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I like tournaments because it fills my thirst, and I have a week off from my kids at school, so you know, 7 straight days of basketball is always a good thing.
No doubt, I know that Arkansas Pine Bluff game after this tournament's over, that's going to be all you. You can have all 6 of our tickets for that one, but I'll be locked and loaded for Villanova for sure. I'm excited to get back to the Farrell. That's going to be a huge game.
For sure.
But, I mean, it'll be even bigger if Baylor can win this game against Michigan State tomorrow at 11 o'clock Central because, you know, that will, I think, set them up. I mean, obviously, the chances of them losing to Arkansas Pine Bluff are pretty slim. So, you could have an 8-0 team there.
Well, I fully plan on next week being a challenge for me to get there on time because I plan on watching our Bears at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Big 12 title game and then getting back by 4.
Oh yeah, it's a Saturday game. That's right.
Yep, it's a Saturday game. This is Pine Bluff. So
yeah,
the Big 12 title game's at 11, Pine Bluff's at 4. So I guess we just need to run the ball really well and keep the clock moving and beat Oklahoma State.
Well, first things first, you got to beat Texas Tech, and obviously Oklahoma State's got to beat Oklahoma, which I think will happen if we take care of business. But
I think so too.
It's exciting times, man. It looks like our football coach is going to stay here a while. Hopefully, you know, be the Scott Drew of our football team and really build something special. Obviously, the Baylor basketball team has built something special. We got a new arena coming in a couple years. We've won. This is like, let's see, we're 6-0 this year. We won 6 straight last year, so we're 12 straight wins. Yep. And you can't win 46 in a row until you win 13 in a row. So beat Michigan State, right?
Beat Michigan State.
2-0 against Tom Izzo. I mean, one of the elite coaches in college basketball. That would be a great accomplishment. And they beat him in the Bahamas before, so it should feel familiar, even though none of the players that won that game are on this team. I mean, those guys have all graduated and moved on, but that was a big win.
That was a semifinal match, wasn't it? Because we beat Louisville in the
Louisville finals, yeah. And we were down like 20 against Louisville. Was that right? Yeah,
That was the King McClure coming out party.
Yeah.
Hit a couple of people in a row, and
King played incredible. Jake Lindsay played incredible. Yep. Yeah. Good times. I remember that. And I remember that because I was watching that game, and I was headed to Cowboys Stadium to watch Texas Tech Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
I think Baylor lost that game that year, if I'm not mistaken. That was 2017?
2016.
Okay.
It was 2016 because I was watching it. They put it up on the big screen.
Right.
I was sitting in the stands trying to watch it on my phone in the horrible. You would think AT&T Stadium would have some good Wi-Fi. It didn't work very well. So
right.
they put it up on the screen and we got to watch the end of it. So
right.
Good day for basketball. Not so much for football.
Well, hey, Chris, thank you so much for doing this podcast with me. You've been listening to a Sikkim 365 podcast with Ashley Hodge and Chris Fuentes. And tomorrow we play Michigan State in the championship game of the Battle for Atlantis, Sikkim Bears.
Sikkim.